Yeah, oh yeah.
We'll do the missionary letters in a minute. I'll just give you something from the Word of God real quick. Luke 18. Appreciate Brother Mike handling things here while we're gone, you guys handling things. Amen. What a blessing. I could tell you more about things that we've seen and what we did and all that, but it's and we got to meet up with Brother Joe, Gabby's dad and mom, and we got to meet up with them. We met at a Mexican restaurant and got to meet there, fellowship with them, and then got on the road and kept on getting it. Look at Luke 18. It says, he spake a parable on them to this end, that men ought to always to pray and not to faint. The Lord starts out, says he spake a parable on them, and the scripture says that men ought to always to pray, not to faint. And Bible says that, you know, if you faint in the day of adversity, a lot of people come apart when they have problems. First time problems come up, first time they just fall apart. And that shouldn't be. The Bible says if you faint in the day of adversity, then your strength or your faith is small. And, you know, you're going to face some adversity in life. And as he was talking about the potter, Bemis was talking about the five firings of a potter, a vessel. And, you know, he put to the fire. And he was talking about that. We could, you know, just you think about things that you've been through and the things you go through. And what happens, I've seen a lot of Christians, first time, when everything's going well, everything's going good, they're happy, they're rejoicing and everything else. But first time a little trouble comes along, they're ready to throw the towel in and quit. They don't have no determination, no faith in God, and knowing that God's in control. If God allows something in your life, and I'm going to tell you this, nothing can happen to you unless God allows it. If God allows something, I had a guy telling me just past when I was on the phone with him, he said, I almost wanted to get bitter at God for the things he's going through. And I talked to another guy down in Virginia. As I went through, I tried to remember people or Tennessee and stuff. I tried to call people, and I talked to one guy. I said, how's the church? He said, well, he's not a pastor anymore. And now I talked to another brother. He's, you know, had shoulder surgery, and people go through stuff, but they said, well, I'm still serving God. I'm still fighting on. And that's what we ought to be doing, no matter what comes down the pike. Some people, I've seen my dad, I've talked about that, every time my dad, anything went bad, my dad would flip his lid. My dad would go off and he'd cuss and throw stuff and go off and be like a crazy man. And I thought, I don't want to be like that. I definitely don't want to be like that. And what happens is God starts giving you, you know, the Bible says tribulation worketh patience. I say don't pray for it. I've heard people say, well, you ought to pray for it. I mean, you ought to pray for patience, but tribulation comes with it. And I've seen my father just go off when, you know, things break down. I've seen my dad just, and then I've seen him, you know, argue with cops and get locked up and, you know, hand to throw him, you know, on the ground, be three or four cops on him, all kinds of crazy. I mean, just seeing all that mess, I thought, my Lord. And I ended up heading that way. I was going the same way he was going. I was going the same way. You know what? You follow in your father's footsteps. But then after I got saved, I said, God, I don't want to be like that. I don't like that old man. I'm not talking about my dad. I'm talking about me. I don't like that old man. And the Bible talks about, Jesus said, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always to pray and not to faint. And what you do is say, Lord, you know what's ahead. I've always prayed this. I said, Lord, you know what's ahead. Help me to trust you. Help me to trust you. When the curves come in your life and the things come up and the roads in and all that kind of stuff, you. Trust God. Because there's going to be times where it's going to get tough on you. It's going to get tough. And you know, you don't want to faint. I've seen people faint. And you know what happens what they do? When you faint, a lot of times you hurt yourself more than when if you just stayed up. Some people faint and they fall down, hit their heads, and they end up in the hospital, busted heads, busted ribs, all kinds of stuff. And Bible says don't faint. Don't faint. And don't faint at all. I mean, it says pray about it. Me and Jesse was talking about it today. I said, when I first got saved and before I was saved, I was a reactionary. I tried to wait and pray before I say anything, do anything, instead of just going off like a wild, like a bomb. And a lot of people go off like a bomb and they start saying all kinds of stuff that they can't take back. And you know, you can't take your words back. You can't take, because are you going to, the Bible says, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And you got to be careful what you do. You got to be careful what you say, and be patient. And tribulation worketh, patience, and patience experience. And what's happened is I got some experience of life. And when the older you get, you should be more patient and should be more experienced in life and how to handle things instead of blowing up and going crazy and acting like a fool. And some people go off and they say, well, you made me cuss. You made me did. No, they didn't. You didn't have control of yourself. The Bible talks about if a man's filled with the Holy Ghost, he's got joy, love, peace. Then it goes down and it says temperance. Temperance, being able to control your temper. If a man's full of the Spirit of God, he's able to control himself. He yanks himself back and says, whoa, horsey. No, you ain't going down that road. You ain't going down that road. You ever watch them Amish where the horses get spooked and they get starting to get out of hand. They got to pull back the reins. And what you got to do when things start getting out of hand, pull back the reins. Pull them back. So, whoa, you ain't going down that road. No, you ain't going to go off and hurt somebody. And the Bible says men ought to always pray, not to faint. And when you feel like things are getting hard, don't go off and call somebody up or something. Get on your knees. Get on your knees. Start saying, oh, God, help me. God, please, I need you now. I need thee every hour. When things start getting rough in your life, and they will get rough. If you haven't been there, you will. Really what I got out of Brother Bemis saying, he said, there's five firings for a potter. And I thought, Christians, if we go through five times where the fires get turned up in our lives, the fire gets turned up? And he said the last firing was when the potter likes to put a little jewels on the outside of the pottery. And liken that to Jesus Christ. So he says men ought to always to pray, not to faint. Take your Bible, look in Galatians chapter 6. Look in Galatians 6. Galatians chapter 6. Just something to think about tonight. Galatians 6. Be patient. Don't faint. I've had people say to me, well, I don't know about serving God, man. There's guys that should have been at that meeting with all of us, but they quit. They graduated. They went through the same classes I did, and Brother Ken did, Brother Jesse did, and Brother Mike did. They went through the same stuff we went through. I mean, they went through all that, but now they're not serving God anymore. What happened? He said, well, sometimes people say that's your character. You got to work on your character. Your character, you got to say, Lord, help my character, because some people have terrible character when it comes to being patient and being able to help people. All they can see is themselves. All they can see is their own little, a guy says, if you're wrapped up in just yourself, he says, that's a pretty small package if you're just wrapped up in yourself. And they were talking about the bus kids and all that stuff, and I know we do a lot of stuff, try to do stuff with bus kids and people, kids, but I tell you what, somebody got to do something with them and help them. The world, man, to use them, abuse them, throw them away. It says, be not deceived, verse 7. Galatians 6, 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's in everything. He said, well, we always use that as a negative thing. You're going to reap what you sow, which you are. But what about you're going to reap what you do good? You'll reap good things. You sow good things, you'll reap good things. And, I want, like Doc used to say, your ship starts coming in, and you have to unload it. But what a blessing would be when your ship's coming in, and it's good stuff, and you unload it, and you go, and you share it with everybody else. That's what your life ought to be. You ought to be able to share it with everybody else. Amen? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. If you just live just for you and just for what you can get and just to enjoy, you say, I just want to enjoy life. And the Bible says God's given us all things to enjoy. But if you just live for you, that's kind of selfish. Especially being when you find out the Bible says you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God, your body and your spirit, which is God's. When God saved you, he bought you lock, stock, and barrel. You belong to him. And if you just figure, I'm just going to live my life, I'm not going to fool with nobody else, I'm just going to live for myself, then, boy, I tell you what, that's pretty sad. That's pretty sad. And when God saved you for a reason, he saves you for a purpose. And so a lot of people just wrapped up in themselves. They say, I'm not going to get involved. I'm not going to do anything. Just think, you could, if you're sitting in here tonight, I know that I'm talking to the Wednesday night crowd. I'm not talking about just the Sunday morning crowd now. But Wednesday night crowd, you're all faithful. You're in church on Wednesday night. You get tithe for missions and all that. That's a blessing. But a lot of people just, man, they're just satisfied with doing their little duty and not getting involved and, you know, and just give their little bit of money in the offering plate, and then they go out and buy their, you know, 80-inch TV and get every kind of cable channel they can get and all that kind of stuff. And they sit around, and that's all they do, and just living for themselves. And they're still not happy. Still not happy. I had a lady got saved here. You all heard me talk about it. She shot herself, 52 years old. And I preached a funeral. And I thought, man, what a waste. What a waste. You said, well, you don't know she was in depression. I know what I'm saying, but she could have got to God. She could have got to him. She found out she got saved here. Found out her and her husband, her children got saved here. They just never grew. What happened? I know if it wasn't for somebody else coming after me, and that's why I say we get so caught up, we don't think about calling somebody. Hey, how come they ain't been in here? Brother Mo comes to church here, and he said, where's so-and-so at? I said, yeah, I look around and go, you know what? I don't know. I try to call people. When you think about somebody, call them. I don't like that texting all the time. I don't like it because it just sometimes I'd rather talk to you. I mean, I realize people, just a newer generation, it's all about texting, you know. But I like to hear your voice. I like to talk. And say, hey, how you doing? Say, and telling you. But a lot of times you can text somebody, and you can never tell if they. You don't even know if it's them. You don't know if they're, how kind of day they're having. You don't know anything. I mean, they can say something, and you think they're being sarcastic towards you. And they really don't mean it. So if you talk to them, if you see somebody around here ain't here, call them or stop by and visit with them. Say, hey, where you been? I try to do that. I try to think about people. I was going down 81 and then Route 40, I think about people that live, and I was thinking about Linda, and I was praying for her and Pat. We went through Kingsport. That's where they live, right? We went through Kingsport, and I was thinking about them, praying for them. And when you go by people's places where you know they're at, pray for them. He said men ought to always to pray, not to faint. Pray for people. You said, well, just I got other things going on. Well, you know, so I bet you they do too. There was a guy I used to go, I didn't like to stop at his house. We'd go down 85, and my wife would say, we're not going to stop by his house, are we? And I said, no, we're going to keep on getting it. And every time I passed the area where he lived, it was in Charlotte, North Carolina. Every time we passed, I was heading back to Pensacola, I'm in a hurry. I'm always in a hurry. And I'm going down the road. And man, my truck broke. Right as I got to his exit, my truck, the fan came off and went right into the radiator and destroyed the radiator and everything. I thought, all right, Lord. I called that guy and he was so happy to come to help me. And you know what happened? His horse got out. A horse got out and he ran out in the road and a car hit it and people were injured and everything. He just needed me there to pray with him and go to the hospital and see these people. And I didn't want to stop. Every time, I'm telling you, every time I went past this exit. And then I learned, Linda said, we're not going to stop, are we? I said, oh, yeah, we're going to stop. We're stopping. Because every time I passed this exit, something happened. It cost me. So, and I think Ken knows who I'm talking about. It says, for he that soweth through the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth through the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Amen. I'm glad you're in church tonight. Amen. You're doing what's right. That's well-doing, even though your flesh said, oh, man. How many of y'all ever going down the road and you're having a good day and all of a sudden it hits you, tonight's Wednesday night, and you go, oh, man. Has it ever happened to you? I tell you what, when I was in Bible school, I fasted on Wednesday. And we go, because on Wednesday night, we all, me and Brother Lamar Chenault, would go over to Alabama, Mobile, Alabama, and we'd preach at the rescue mission. So we fasted all day. The night before, Tuesday night, we'd go to Bible school, and then we would fast just after we got out of school. And we would fast all day Wednesday. And then, I mean, I was in the habit when going to work at 6 o'clock in the morning, I'd always go up to 7-Eleven. There was a 7-Eleven on my way to work. I'd pull in the 7-Eleven, get a cup of coffee. And every Wednesday, no lie, man, every Wednesday, my truck would just pull in that 7-Eleven. And I'd pull up there at the 7-Eleven, stop and put it in park, and then I'd remember, today's Wednesday. My flesh would go, get me some coffee. You need coffee now. And I'd put that thing in reverse, and, man, I'd just look at that, see them guys in there pouring the coffee. And I'd back up and go down Palafox, go to work, and I didn't drink no coffee, no nothing. Nothing. I didn't even drink water just all day long, just nothing. And we'd go down because why? We wanted to see people get saved at that rescue mission. So we'd go to rescue mission on Wednesday night. And right after the rescue mission, man, we'd sit around and talk to the guys and everything. And it was a long bridge. How many of y'all remember that bridge? It goes from Mobile all the way back to the other side. Bridge goes over the water. I guess it's a couple miles, right? But right after you pass that bridge, it was a Hardee's on the right-hand side. I think we went over that bridge the fastest going back than we ever came over. We would go double the speed back trying to get to the Hardee's. And we'd go in the Hardee's, get us a burger, get us fries, get a Coke. Man, we were like mad, man. We sit at the cave. It was just 24 hours. But fasting. It says, he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap, but we faint not. You know what? We learned. Every time we fasted, we seen people saved. Why? We were making our flesh. It's not like the monks did, you know, they beat themselves and all that stuff. I'm not talking about that. You're saying, God, we want to see people saved more than we want to eat. We want to see this problem solved more than we want to eat. We want to see you do something. We want to see your hand. And that's what we did. And Brother Lamar Chenault, every time I talked to him, he said, yeah, remember those days? He said, it was good days, wasn't it? We look back on it now, we said, man, we seen some fruit over there. We go over to go street preaching on Saturday night. If we went over there on Saturday night, we wouldn't eat and go over and preach. And then after we got hit that bridge, cross the bridge back to Hardee's. Be not weary in well-doing for you. Don't faint in work God's given us to do. This work here, Faith Baptist Church, it's not just the pastor's work. It's our work. It's ours, all of us together, trying to do a work for God, trying to see people saved. So when we see somebody come in and get saved, we all have a part of it. Why? You all support it. You pray, and pray over these things. Take your Bible, look in 2 Corinthians 4. I'm going to quit. I got a couple others on it. 2 Corinthians 4. Don't faint. Don't faint. 2 Corinthians 4, 16. Look at, back up to verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. This is Paul talking. Paul going through all this stuff. Look at verse 3. He said, if our gospel be hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And it says, but we have this treasure hidden, this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. For we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. He said, we are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. Somebody sacrificed for you to get saved. Somebody sacrificed for you to have the Bible. That's why when we got in there looking at them Bibles, we're thinking about that, man. Think about people that sacrificed so we could have it. And here the Bible's going to India and all over the world. Bible's going to places where people are in darkness. that need the light. They need light. And that's going to cost somebody something. Always bearing about in the body, verse 10, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. He said, we ought to have the same outlook that Jesus had the same burden that Jesus had. He said, he told his disciples, he said, my meat is to do the will of my Father. That's what we ought to be. Our meat ought to be. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the food we're going to eat. If you don't thank God for your food that you're going to eat, but Lord, help us to do your will. Help us enjoy it. Like I said, Wednesday night, it came up Wednesday night. Sometimes you'll be going down the road and you're having a good day. Say, oh, man, what a beautiful day. Man, have a good day. And all of a sudden, your mind, oh, it's Wednesday night. Then you start to get depressed a little bit. What is that? That's an unclean spirit. Or your flesh saying, I don't want it. I don't want to do that. I don't like praying. I don't like reading the Bible. I don't like that. Your flesh hates it. This flesh hates God. He says, always bearing in our body, about in our body, the dying of Jesus, our Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. Paul's talking about himself. For we having the same spirit of faith, according as written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. He said, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might be through the thanksgiving and of many redound to the glory of God. For this cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which we are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. He said, for this cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. A Christian ought to be growing and dying daily more as he grows older in Jesus Christ. He ought to be wanting to get closer to Jesus Christ in further way. When you realize how much God's mercy has been on us, how much grace. When I first got saved, I appreciated my salvation, but I didn't really know how good it was until I lived it for a while. And when I lived it for a while, and then I started looking at my past life, thinking, even my life, I said, man, God's been so good to me. Why? Why has he been so good to me? Man, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve his mercy. I don't deserve his grace. I don't deserve nothing. You start getting to the point, you start looking at yourself going, man, Lord, just being able to give back to you is just such a great privilege. Being able to give myself for you is a great privilege. As you get older, you ought to be growing closer, not further away. You ought to be getting more in love with Jesus Christ rather than falling out. So many Christians fall out of love. That's why Brother Tom, the guy I went to school with, came down here. I can't remember his last name now. No, Tom, not Tom Taylor, but another guy that was, and he told me that he hadn't been serving God in 20 years. He went to the Bible school, and if you would have voted, this guy was a preacher. He was smart. He had all the tools to serve God. And he got mad at God and quit 20 years. Matter of fact, it's been 25 now. I'll call him every once in a while. I'll come down through. I got over 1,100 phone numbers in my phone. And every time I come down there, I see his name. I start praying. Lord, and I say, Lord, should I call him? And that guy had all the tools. I didn't have the tools that he had. But, man, he had them. If you would have voted the most successful guy going to come out of the class, it would have been him. He ain't doing nothing. For which cause we faint not, that though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. We're falling apart as we get older. The outward man's falling apart. But the inward man ought to be getting stronger and stronger, more in love with Jesus Christ. I remember went over to see Brother Jack Lynch. Jesse used to ride home with him. Jack, he said, that guy's an unreal guy. And every time I went to see him, he'd say, oh, I'm just trying to do what I can, want to see my family saved. And he just wanted to serve God. He was an unusual character, but he said, I just want to serve God. And he was writing, he'd write stuff and send it to me. He'd write stuff just to help, to try to help me. And if he saw something in the Word of God, he would try to show me and see what I thought about it. And then wanted me to call him and tell him what I thought about it. He just wanted to be a help. The outward man is perishing, but the inward man is still, should be a fire in here. Should be a fire. And we all get kind of cold at times. We all kind of, the fire starts dying down. But man, we stay in church, keep that fire burning. Keep that seeing souls saved. Wanting to pray for people. Rather, you know, you start looking at each other, we'll get depressed. And you start looking, you find faults to other people. But when you start wanting to serve God, you just say, hey, man, come on, let's do it. Let's serve God. Let's serve him. Amen. All right, Brother Ken, come on, take a prayer request.